Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down. The Twisted Tuesday has begun. Let's do this thing as the Miami Heat punch their ticket into the National Basketball Association's Final Four. Back-to-back years, the Milwaukee Bucks are the one seed in the East, only to fall short last year to the Toronto Raptors, this year to the Miami Heat. And the Greek Freak on the defensive immediately following a basketball game in which he did not play in which he's trying to put out any fires as far as him bolting Milwaukee due to their postseason failures, talking about how when he sees walls, he doesn't go around them. He goes through them, trying to send a message. We'll get into that throughout the program here this evening. The Los Angeles Lakers pull away late. They take control of this series. 112-102, final score. LeBron James goes off, drops 29 in the first half. And anybody that's been listening to my show for years, and we've been on for LeBron James' entire career, all right? I've been far from his biggest cheerleader over the years. But I tell you what, I think the dude's just so great, we take him for granted at this point. I think he's that damn good that, you know what I mean? He's that good, and he's been this good for this long that we're spoiled. We're actually spoiled. I don't know, man. 2020 is doing a lot of crazy things. Here I am. Here I am defending LeBron James and talking about how great he is. You know who else is great? Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan is a great coach. Billy Donovan is no longer the head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Big news out of the bubble this evening. So the Los Angeles Lakers get a big win. You know it's all over, but they're crying for the Houston Rockets right now. And it just feels like we're on a collision course right now, doesn't it? Clippers, Lakers, everybody knew it. Let's just get to it and get it on. I still think advantage goes to the middle finger. That's his new nickname. No longer the claw, he's the middle finger, Kawhi, because that's what Kawhi does. He gives the middle finger to everybody, and his middle finger blocked a shot. Vegas gets back in it. Vegas finally scores. Scores three times. Vegas posts a shutout this evening. Dallas couldn't score. Vegas wins. Game stays under the number. Steve Merrill steps up, and then George Kurtz, Sports Rage late night, has begun. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage Late Night. I am Gabe Morenci. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates out there kicking it with us in the late night hours this evening, including the Mightier 1090, kicking it SoCal style. And SoCal's rocking tonight. The Los Angeles Lakers get it done. They cover the number as well. Game stays under the number. Los Angeles Lakers defense clamps down in the second half. And, you know, there's just a difference right now. Houston can only go so far with the roster that they have. And at this time, when you get this far to the playoffs, no matter how good these teams are, every team has, like, flaws. And these teams' flaws are all exposed, you know, the further they get. In the playoffs, it's not easy to win an NBA championship, and there's only really a couple of teams that ever really have a chance. This bubble has opened things up. This bubble has opened things up, and don't think for a second that the Milwaukee Bucks would have been knocked out as easily as they were if they were playing home games. And that's no excuse. Listen, I'm not a Milwaukee Buck fan, and in fact, you know, I talked a lot, you know, for the last couple of months, not just like, you know, about the bubble, but I never thought Milwaukee were even going to the finals. I've seen the Milwaukee Bucks up close. I've seen this before. They're built for the regular season. But with that being stated, and there's no excuses for any of these teams, it is what it is, but it's a unique situation the teams are playing in the bubble. And some teams are responding to it better than others, right? It just is. It's human nature. It's human nature. It's going to be the exact same way with the National Football League. And Steve Merrill's going to join us. We'll talk a lot of NFL tonight, obviously. So the countdown to kickoff is on less than 48 hours. So it's going to be the same thing in the National Football League, right? Some teams, you know, are going to have bad seasons, and you're going to hear after, yeah, we just never got it going. You know, the coaching staff couldn't figure it out. So, you know, and then other teams are going to be like, wow, this team's really ready to play, right? Look at Navy. Look at Navy and BYU. I know that's just one football game, but one team was completely ready. Another team, like, you know, yeah, they look like a high school football team. And we say that with all due respect to a military academy that we have a ton of respect for. All right? Like, I'm a big fan of Navy football. That's why I bet on them. But, you know, it's better beware, man. And I say buyer beware, but I say better beware. And I guess it's you better beware. And also for you betters out there, better beware. All right. I'm just saying, if you know what I'm saying, if you know what I'm saying. Like with the National Football League, I don't know what to expect, you know, in week one. I think there could be some blowouts. I think there could be some blowouts. I'm almost like, you know, my gut instinct, and as I stated, we've never played like this. There's no preseason. We don't really know very much. You know, it's a big roll of the dice, but my gut instinct is telling me that there are going to be more than a few blowouts, more so than, oh, man, look how close these games are. I think it's different. I think it's different in football. Like I said, I think it's, you know, some teams are going to be ready, and they're just going to kick the crap out of some other teams that won't be ready and are going to be terrible. I guess the key is to land on the right games in which there's going to be blowouts, right? That's what Steve Merrill's going to help us. Steve Merrill's going to step up and in. We're kicking it with Merrill tonight. George Kurtz will join us in the late night hours. We'll talk football, a little hockey with Kurtz as well, NFL football. But as far as the NBA is concerned, so, you know, all teams have handled this stuff differently. And there's going to be talk about the Milwaukee Bucks and the fact that they led the protest, that they were the first ones up. And honestly, if the Bucks didn't do that, I don't know if anyone else does. There was talk that the Raptors and the Celtics were going to potentially not play even before the Bucks shut everything down. But that's not a reason for why the Milwaukee Bucks got eliminated. That's not a reason. But, you know, just the fact is, you look, you know, I think you can equate this to college football, in which it's always my problem with the big time bowl games, in which there's such a long layoff. You know, you always see this in these bowl games, right? You know, I'm talking about like the bigger ones where the teams have been off for like 5 weeks and stuff. And it's almost like a new season. And sometimes, like, you know, it's a massacre. One team is completely done. Like, it was like, wow, they're nothing like the team that they were 6 weeks ago, right? And, you know, time changes people. Stuff happens. I don't know what it is, you know. If we all knew, we'd all be, you know, driving Ferraris right now, right? But it's tough. And Milwaukee just couldn't get it going again. It was pretty clear, you know, pretty much from the onset. They were struggling in the bubble the whole time. They were struggling before the playoffs started. You know, they lost as 19.5-point favorites, right? It was the biggest upset in 27 years in the NBA. Brooklyn had, like, a G League roster, and they beat them outright. Like, they had problems. The games against Orlando were real battles. Like, you know, the final scores would say 10 points and 12 points or whatever, 13. Like, they were all pretty close. And Orlando had injuries as well, like a lot of injuries. And Orlando, like, competed. Listen, I'm not the biggest Budenholzer fan in as far as the head coach is concerned. Yet, I've, you know, like I said, I've seen Milwaukee a lot over the last couple of years. And I know this roster, and I've always talked about the flaws of the roster. They've given the wrong people big money. And, you know, you give Chris Middleton big money. Who's Chris Middleton? Is Chris Middleton like a number two star? Is he like Paul George to Kawhi? You know, no. You know, he's a number three guy, number four. He's inconsistent. He's a pretty good three-point shooter. I get it. Eric Bledsoe doesn't make a ton of money, but, like, really, like, when you actually analyze these rosters, that it's not rocket science, guys. Like, you look, it's like, are you really surprised that DiVincenzo and Pat Connaughton lost and Brooke Lopez lost? Like, really? You know, I warned Milwaukee about this. I thought they made a big mistake in letting Malcolm Brogdon go. I thought they've made mistakes constructing the roster. And they can come back with the same roster again next year and whatever. They'll win a bunch of regular season games and they'll lose again. You know, they're going to have to, you know, change things up. And it's going to be difficult for them. They're going to have to find a way. They got the Greek Freak for another year right now. So there's a lot of talk about, oh, he'll bolt. He's not your normal dude, right? Like, the Greek Freak, he's not your normal, like, typical superstar. He's not a diva. And, like, he's not dying to live in Los Angeles. He's not dying to live in Miami, right? It's like, you look at Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard is from California. He played in Texas. He played in Canada. Kawhi Leonard had never been in control of where he lived before. So you can understand why he did that. Well, there's no team in Greece. He's not going to play in Greece right now. Now, there's teams in Greece, but not in the NBA. And there are pretty good teams in Greece, too, at that. But I don't think he's really in a hurry to leave Milwaukee, the city. You know, he's got to get, it's up to the organization, though, to make the roster around him better. And, you know, they've got a year to do it. I've pretty much given up on trying to guess what players are going to do moving forward. I was convinced Kawhi Leonard was going to stay with the Toronto Raptors. Who leaves after winning a championship? And you know, you want to talk about like taking the league over and running the league. Like if, you know, you go to Toronto and they win and then you go to the Clippers and then they win, you know, that's championships with three teams already. You know, Kawhi is like old for his age. You know what I mean? He's not going to be like LeBron lighting the, you know, Kawhi's not lighting the NBA up in 5 years. He plays so hard. You know, his body's taking a toll. You know, it's taking a toll on him, as we know. Right now, as good as Miami have looked, I think Miami are a little bit overinflated right now. A great run by the Miami Heat, but I'll tell you why a little bit later on, why I think they're not quite as great as everybody thinks they are right now. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Visit today.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gabe Morenci. George Kurtz will step up and in from Long Island a little bit later on. We'll break down the Islanders situation after they got throttled in game one, although it doesn't matter whether you lose 1-0 or 8-2. It's just a loss. It's just a loss. The other team doesn't get bonus points for blowing you out. And I bring that up because I, a lot of stuff I want to get to with Mr. Steve Merrill right now. Pro Sports Info in the house. Wager Talk TV in the house here with us. Always a pleasure, Steve. A lot of stuff I want to get to. And I bring that up because, you know, I've talked about this and I've heard players say this often about how momentum doesn't exist in sports. We're like, that's just like the media talks about momentum, but one game to another in the playoffs, it doesn't mean anything to them. Like if a team loses 8-2 or 1-0 or, you know, that, you know, you think a team has momentum and then, you know, they really don't. And a classic example is, you know, you would argue the Toronto Raptors had momentum after they hit a desperation shot to avoid going down 3-0. Then they win again 2-2. You would argue, well, that's momentum, right? They won two games in a row. Well, they got blown out the following game. And I think some people might think that they're just going to get blown out again because they got blown out in the last game. I don't think so. I think the Toronto Raptors are going to bounce back, but it's a tough situation right now. You know, Serge Ibaka isn't the Greek freak, but Serge Ibaka does so much for the Toronto Raptors, Steve. And if Serge Ibaka can't play, yeah, I don't know. Like, they're already kind of thin as it is. They don't trust their bench anymore. What do you think about the Boston-Toronto game, Steve?
Yeah, just from a big picture perspective, I think I look at momentum a little bit differently because you hear that a lot. You hear a lot of cappers say there's no momentum. You see some statistical studies about, what was that, a scorecasting book that came out like 10 years ago. I think it's in that one, or Mathletics. I've got them both on my bookshelf right here. But one of them, they did a study on the NBA about like shots made, and if the next shot was made, and they said there's no such thing as a hot hand. So maybe statistically it comes out that way, but I've watched enough sports for 25, 30 years. I've played enough sports for 40 some years that I don't agree with that. I mean, you know what it's like, Gabe. We go out there, we hack around on the golf course as recreational golfers. You get in the zone, and when you start, yeah. When you start hitting the ball badly, you don't just flip a switch and fix that.
Does it carry over from day to day?
Well, that's a good now,
and game to game, because you're right.
Yeah,
there's momentum swings in games, right? Momentum swings in games, but does it carry over to the next game? Not always.
Well, this statistical study actually said there's not even from one shot to the next, but I've always disagreed with that. And, I look at baseball. I look at offensive numbers a lot more than a lot of handicappers. Everyone's always talking about the pitchers, but I'll talk about current form offensively because those guys are in the lineup every day. And, there's no question guys go through hot and cold streaks in baseball. And some of it is just total randomness, 10 hits in a row or 10 games without a hit. There's enough players that you're going to find that randomness. But there's something to it. I mean, when the guys are hitting the ball well, they're seeing the ball well, they're feeling it. And if you get enough players in the same lineup on one team or the other way around, that are cold, I think it carries over. Now, with the Raptors-Celtics series in particular, the Celtics have been the better team from the start. And even the games the Raptors were winning, it was a huge three-point edge in game four. It was at the buzzer, like you said, in game three. The Celtics never trailed in game five. You could also make an argument that they had the three best players at any time on the court. So that's just more of a matchup issue for me, and I don't think there is any momentum for Toronto one way or the other, just because I think Boston looks like the better matchup in this one.
Yeah, and you want to talk about momentum. You're right. I don't know if it's momentum or just reality, right? It's 3-2, but the scale feels like it's weighted heavily, more heavily than 3-2 right now. But sports are weird, right? Raptors win this. Suddenly they're in a game seven. You know what I mean? As even though you're right, Boston a bit a better team. As I mentioned, listen, Marc Gasol really hasn't brought anything to the table for the Raptors, specifically offensively. And I don't think he's suddenly going to drop 17 points tomorrow. The Raptors can't win. Like, I don't know if they can win without Serge Ibaka. And, they can't win when he doesn't play well. So I don't see how they're going to win if he doesn't play. And like I said, it's not that Serge Ibaka is a superstar, guys, but the Raptors' depth is kind of thin to begin with. Like, there's not a lot of margin for error, for the Raptors to be successful. Like you said, Steve, they won at the buzzer. The other game they won. They need Lowry to go off for 24. They need Van Fleet to go off. They need Siakam to be in 20. They need everybody to play well. And if one or two guys don't, they have a problem. And they're being exposed offensively right now. They're having a hard time, specifically Siakam. And it's a good point that you raise. As far as, I guess I don't know if I'd go as far as Jaylen Brown, but I mean, Jason Tatum has been the best player on the floor, right? And Kemba Walker has been lethal. Man, he's been an assassin late in these games.
Yeah, exactly right. The show I do on Wager Talk TV each day at 3 p.m. Eastern, we do an NBA tip-off show. Teddy Covers is on there, who you and I both know well. And we've had that discussion the last few times. We've analyzed games three, games four, game five. Rob Dino, who's on the show, he brought it up as well. And he actually was one that first pointed this out to us. He's like, who would you rather have, Walker or Lowry? We're having this discussion, but he's like, and both Teddy and Rob are like, you could probably make an argument the three best players on the court are all in the Celtics. And in do or die game fives with a 1.5-point spread, I think that's something you have to consider. Now, game six is different, Gabe. Normally, if I'm getting a Class A defending world champs off a 22-point loss in an elimination game, I'd be all over them.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But the problem is they haven't been the better team. So as I said in games three and even game four, it was more of a case with, especially game three, I said this, it's more of a case with the Celtics let down, than the Raptors pick things up. And I think that's what we're looking at here in game six tomorrow is will the Celtics have a letdown? I hope they do, Gabe, because I would love them in game seven. But I will say this, Toronto's a good defensive
maybe
team.
Maybe they don't have that killer instinct, right? We're going to find out. It takes something. That last game is always the hardest one to win. You're right. I mean, you can be really good, but can you knock them out? Can you kill them, right? Can you finish them off? That's the key. Will they have that killer instinct? Because as you stated, the Raptors have to have more pride. I mean, and they also mathematically, we talk about law of averages. I mean, dude, they were 2-for-18 to start that game the other night. You know what I mean? They have to hit shots early.
Gabe, if I told you the first five games were going under the total and one team would be up 3-2, how much money would you have lost? Would you have a house still that it wasn't Toronto up 3-2?
Yeah, it's been bizarro world. These games all hit they all hit the wall, Steve, these NBA games. First quarters have gone over. Right. It didn't in the last game, but, you know, even look at tonight. It was a track meet to start off with the Lakers and the Rockets. Hits the wall after. Miami-Milwaukee doesn't even get anywhere close to going over the number, Steve.
Yeah, I actually had the under in the Laker game, and I was not feeling too good about it midway through the second quarter tonight, I'll be honest with you. So I was very glad to see the pace shorten there. But we actually talked about this on the NBA show today also. I mean, the bubble games were soaring over the total, like you said, and it makes a lot of sense because most of those games are completely meaningless. I always call them playground games, but I got to steal this from Rob Vino, one of my guests on the show. He calls them YMCA games. I love that line. That's my new go-to now is they're YMCA games when they're just going back and forth. But the playoffs are always lower scoring, on average about 3 points lower scoring than a regular season game. But that was no regular season in the bubble. You know, it was playground time. So we've seen a tremendous shift. And there's no question the odds makers have been a little late to the party making the adjustments, and these games are just soaring. Remember a few weeks ago, Gabe, game one between the Blazers and Lakers, it went under by 40 points. I remember I was on that night after that game ended, and we were talking about how bad was that number. It was under by 40 points, and the line had risen like 6 points, I think, from the opening number, and it went under by 40. So both the odds makers and the bettors have had a tough time adjusting.
I think also it's proof of the fact that defense matters still. You know, I know that defense wins championships doesn't quite hold the same weight that it has in past decades, let's say. But the reality of the situation is, Steve, look at all the highest scoring teams in the NBA. They're not there anymore. They're not playing. You know what I mean? Like the Pelicans score 120 points a game. Phoenix score a million points. Like there's these teams that score a ton of points. You need, like, I think Kawhi has sort of changed the dynamic of the NBA. All sports and, you know, these leagues are all copycat leagues, and they all sort of follow the trends and the style. And, look, Golden State was winning, and they were hitting three balls, and, oh, they're changing basketball. And did they change basketball for a couple of years, almost like momentum, Steve, right? Yeah, they did then. It's right back to now. It's slugfest time again. These teams are winning with, like, defense, grit. Instead of having a million three-point shooters, they want tough guys that can hit threes. Like, if you look, like, the Miami Heat are a physical, pretty tough team, all right? Like, the Toronto Raptors, you know, are pretty gritty. They were especially gritty when they had Kawhi, and they won a championship like that. You look at the Los Angeles Clippers, they're not built, like, through finesse at all, Steve. You know what I mean? Like, they've got a bunch of, like, tough-ass dudes. Like, that's how they were built, like, purposely. They weren't like, oh, let's get this skill guy and let's get that skill guy. They were like, no, we got Kawhi Leonard. We got Paul George. We have Montrezl Harrell. Let's bring in Morris. Let's, you know what I mean? Let's get Patrick Beverley. Let's play tough basketball. And that seems to be the trend right now. How long will this last? I don't know, a couple of years. But that's the trend I identify right now, Steve.
Exactly. You know, once everyone starts doing it, it doesn't work anymore, right? You got to make some changes. And that's where the Warriors were kind of ahead of everybody. And then they all started doing it. So now you got to make some changes and play better defense. I guess we'll be rooting for the Tennessee Titans this year. Maybe we're going back to old school 1990s football with the run-based offenses because Tennessee almost snuck their way into the Super Bowl last year doing it. But, hey, look, defense wins championships. We say it for decades and decades. It still holds true in all sports.
I'll tell you what, that was a good segue, actually, Merrill. We got to get to that. Because with all these Denver injuries, Von Miller could be out for the year, guys. It's probably out for the year. Von Miller freak injury for the Denver Broncos. Except Bradley Chubb could miss the game as well. That's pretty tough, man. Going up against a run-heavy Tennessee Titan team, good luck stopping Derrick Henry. And I don't think Ryan Tannehill's a fluke. Sports Rage Late Night continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Portrays late night continues. I am Morenci. We're kicking it with Steve Merrill right now. All right, I want to get into some NFL football, but just quickly, as you stated, Steve, normally it would be a situation where it's just sort of an automatic. It's an automatic where, you take the Raptors here. I don't know if people were listening to our conversation. The number just moved. Kind of strange, middle of the night. It just moved half a point. Literally, I swear, I didn't even hit refresh. I'm like, wow, it's 3.5 right now. Sitting at 3, I don't know. Somebody just find out that Ibaka's not going to be playing. Ibaka sprained his ankle. He's in a walking boot, just like the Greek Freak was. He was asked tonight, you know, around dinner time this evening, what, you know, are you playing tomorrow? He made himself available for the media, and he said point blank, I don't know. I'll know when I wake up in the morning how I feel. Like I said, so I don't know if the odds maker or this is people or people are listening to our conversation and they believe that Boston does have the momentum. So it's 3.5 there right now. And just quickly about the Clippers and the Lakers game. You know, the Clippers, so the Lakers get it done this evening. And I thought the point spread was a little light tonight. Now you get, it's interesting how the Lakers were, you know, only laying 4.5. You get the Clippers laying 8 again. And this is where the perception and reality are sort of two different things, in which, you know, you almost get the feeling, all right, this series, like Denver can't beat the Clippers, right? Like you almost, like when you watch it and what, like the feeling that we were talking about momentum and stuff. But the reality of the situation, they played 3 games. Denver have cash money in 2 of the 3, Steve. You know what I mean? They've won outright and they covered. I mean, they covered the other night in the losing effort. So it almost, you know, it sounds crazy almost saying, yeah, I'm going to take Denver in these games. But hey, you're 2-1 ATS.
Yeah, and the only game they didn't cover, of course, was a terrible scheduling spot for them. The one day of rest in between the Game 7 nail-biter against Utah. I forget which player it was after the game, was shocked. I remember they were interviewing one of the Nuggets afterwards. He was shocked they had to play 2 days later. So they were not ready for that game, and it showed. But, yeah, I mean, you can make an argument Denver's been as good, if not better, in the other 2 games than this Clipper team. Just there's 2 ways to look at it, Gabe. They're not playing their best basketball, and they're still up 2-1 in the series, do you know? That's the bad news, or good news, I guess, depending on how you look at it. Yeah, the line's a steady 8 right now across the board. Of course, it was 9, 9.5 in game 1, that bad no-rest situation for the Nuggets. The Laker line is out, by the way, for game 4 on Thursday. They're 5.5-point favorite. As you mentioned, it was 4, actually closed as low as 3.5 tonight in some spots. It opened at 5.5 for game 3 tonight, so that was the betting market. That was not the odds makers. The odds makers opened game 3 tonight exactly where 1 and 2 were, 5.5-point range. The betting market dropped it down to 4, even 3.5 by tip-off. But now the odds makers have it at 5.5 again for Thursday, even though the Lakers are off back-to-back wins. I think that's kind of telling.
Steve Merrill kicking it with us. All right, so let's get into the football. We were just talking about running and defense still mattering right now. Last year in the National Football League, guys, teams that had a 100-yard rusher went 78-28 straight up. 78-28 straight up. That's a .736 winning percentage. Teams that had a 300-yard passer went 68-61-2, a .530 winning percentage. Teams that had 100-yard wide receivers went 96-84-2, straight up .533 winning percentage. It's not rocket science, is it? You know what I mean? You throw for 300 yards, you're probably losing a football game. Like, running still does matter. I mean, if you want to win football games, I mean, doesn't this just speak for itself? Doesn't these numbers just speak for itself, Steve?
But then again, Navy was losing 45-0 when I turned the game on Monday night. But, yeah, you know, you always have to run the ball to control the line of scrimmage. It also, yeah. By the way, I was going to use BYU and ended up making a light opinion only, so I was kind of mad that that happened. But the NFL, you know, obviously there's a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy there, because if you have a big lead, you run the ball more. And obviously the big takeaway is if you're down, you start throwing the ball more. That's why all those passing yards don't matter. But there's no question you have to be able to control the line of scrimmage. And it also keeps the other team off the field if you can run the clock. You know, and you're also less likely to have turnovers, Gabe. Turnovers decide the NFL. I've always said, if I could have tomorrow's turnover margin for every game, I'd be a multimillionaire just betting on it. And you know, obviously interceptions are more costly than fumbles, and interceptions are a little bit more predictable because bad quarterbacks do it more often than a guy like Tom Brady, for example. But you are more likely to turn the ball over when you're throwing it as well. So, and also it opens up the big plays because when they have to stack the line to stop the run, then you get more one-on-one coverage. So it all plays off itself, but it's easier said than done. You know, those teams are going rough for 100 yards. A lot of the times it's because they're already up in the game. They're just running the ball more. But yeah, hey, look, that's one thing that hasn't changed since you and I were a kid in the 80s, you know? I mean, you got to be able to run the ball. Teams have gotten away from that, and that's why I use that analogy with the Golden State Warriors. It'll be very interesting to see if teams start trying to do what Tennessee did last year, because Tennessee obviously had a lot of success with that running game.
Yeah, or if they try to follow the Kansas City Chiefs sort of pattern with the overstocked offense. So you brought up, just quickly on the college, I want to get in the NFL. With no fans, like that, it didn't. That was a weird setting the other night. And even the players after, like BYU conceded basically and admitted, like, yeah, it's that was a lot easier than playing with fans. You know right. what I mean? It just was. And those guys, listen, BYU are actually men. But I believe, Steve, that college is the only ranks that home court or home field really matter that much, to be honest. I don't think it matters. In the NFL, it doesn't matter. Last year, it barely mattered at all. You know, hockey, it doesn't matter. Baseball, you know, some team, not really. You know what I mean? But college, it does. They're kids, man. Like, they're not used to it. It's the first time they've ever played in 84,000-seat stadiums. You got bands, and you got dogs trying to bite them, and animal mascots running around, and drunk students, and, like, it's loud as hell. They're nervous. They're on TV. It's like the atmosphere is completely different with no fans. I think we're going to see this year the winning percentage of college football road teams is higher this year than it has been like ever before, Steve. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I think it makes some sense. I've always said the strongest home court advantage in all of sports is college basketball on average, you know, because the arenas are smaller. They're really loud. They're young kids. The referees are influenced by it. That's why basketball in general, both the NBA and college, have more of a home court advantage because the officials – are influenced more than the NFL officials are, or the hockey officials, or the baseball umpires. But I think travel is something, Gabe, that can give teams home court advantage as well, or home field advantage. It's just the difficulty of getting to the game sometimes is worth a point or two. I don't know if that'll be worse or less. You know, travel's not great right now with the virus, but it also is not very busy out there. So I think for the most part, that's probably a wash. Yeah, so I think you're right. I mean, obviously, some of those hostile environments when it's fourth and one and you can't hear your quarterback making the signal calls, that's obviously a disadvantage for the road team. Right.
I think in college it'll have an effect. Now, listen, I don't think Alabama's suddenly losing at home to bad teams because of this. But I'm stating that a team that basically would go in there and say, well, you know what, we never win in the swamp in Florida. It's different now. You know what I mean? Like, you see in college, there's trends, man, where teams haven't won in stadiums in 20 years, 25 years. Put it this way, I'm a Michigan fan. I'd rather have to deal with Ohio State with 20,000 fans than 105,000 fans, Steve. You know what I mean? Like, if that's what it comes down to,
Gabe,
it'd be real.
It's the 20% seems to be the magic number. The Chiefs are going to have 22% on Thursday night, by the way. There's five or six NFL teams that have fans as of now. I was looking that over last night, actually. The Chiefs will be at 22% for the opener Thursday night. I did a video clip today for a wager talk for the Western Kentucky-Louisville game, just a random game they gave me to look at. Louisville will have 20% occupancy on Saturday, and they're going to have 12,000 versus 61,000 that it can hold. So my question to you, Gabe, is does that make it even more weird for the home team maybe, you know, to have just a little bit of crowd noise? And I don't know. It's kind of creepy either way, I think.
I think it's weird when they look into the stands. It is. I don't know. It's just everything's weird. But the Chief players were talking about how even 5,000 people at practice the other day, they liked it. Like Mahomes said, I get a rush from the crowd. And, like, we prefer having a 17,000. Like, they're looking forward to the 17,000. And the Chief players are all, like, they're trying to get the fans into it. They're like, oh, we're curious to see how loud they can be for 17,000 people. So, it'll be, you know, listen, I think the NFL is making a mistake personally by allowing fans in some stadiums And it's not the NFL's call. They're just going state by state. But, you know, Roger Goodell makes the call on a lot of other things, Steve, without, you know what I mean? like he basically said, hey, it's my league. I'll do what I want. He's judge, jury, and executioner. But when it comes to this, suddenly he's like, well, we'll go state by state, whatever the state says. I get it. They want to make whatever money they can. But, you know, to me, it's a competitive imbalance. It just is. It's, you know, for a league like the NFL, I figured they could bite the bullet and say, listen, I know it sucks. You want to have 17,000 people here. We're sorry you can't. Maybe next month, if they can have fans, if everyone can have fans, we'll do it. But whatever, it is what it is. People just want football. What do you think of the opening game here, Steve, in which the point spread feels high, man, at 9, yet Super Bowl winner, 17-3 straight up, 13-5-2 in the first game of the year, the last 20 years. What do you make of the Thursday nighter?
I remember when I started in the 90s, though, Gabe, like the best play against angle in all of sports is to play against the Super Bowl winner in week one, remember?
That's what
or maybe it was week
people.
Two, yeah. Technically.
They're always overinflated.
Yeah, so those things go back and
opener.
Forth, obviously.
Yeah, home opener. Because
right.
In the old days.
And they have, you know, what's interesting,
Super Bowl champs weren't treated as nice in the old days. Sometimes they'd open up on the road or whatever, be like, you're going to open up on Monday Night Football in week two. Yeah.
Exactly. This is the ceremony game now, so it's not what it used to be 20 years ago. You're exactly right about that. Hey, look, I'll just say this for all the games this week. As you know, Gabe, you hear me say this every year that we do week one. I always say it's week five of the preseason. You know, that's my big spiel that I give because
so what is this?
There's more randomness in week one that does not – right, well, it doesn't correlate to the rest of the season. I got to dig this up, by the way. I keep using this as an example. I actually think it might have been the 49ers a few years ago, but there was a team that won big, and they went 1-14 the rest of the year. I always think about that. You know, it just doesn't correlate. But, no, you're exactly right. I mean, now we have no preseason, you know? So how random are these games going to be? I think it makes it very difficult from a handicapping perspective. I guess your gut instinct would be, hey, lean towards the underdog in these games. But I'm not so sure that makes sense either because look at college football, what we saw. They never have a preseason. We saw a lot of blowouts, and they weren't always the favorite, you know? Like Army wins by 40-some, and then Navy loses by 40-some, yeah. Another option team one day later.
That's what I'm
really
saying.
Random results. I think we're going to see a lot of that this week in the NFL.
Like, that's what I said earlier, right before you joined us. Like, would it surprise you, Steve, if like 6-point underdogs blow the other team out? Like, we've seen point spreads haven't mattered as much over the years in the NFL, even though they did last year. These trends always sort of change. It goes back and forth. But I'm sort of expecting that, Steve. Like, put it this way. Like, my gut instinct tells me, like, all right, are there going to be a bunch of really close games and, wow, what a weekend of NFL football? Or is it going to be like a bunch of, woo, that 35-3? Like, and it's like teams are just going to get hammered. I kind of think, I'm expecting blowouts, actually, Steven. I'm not assuming that the favorite's going to do the blowing out in every game either.
Exactly right. The biggest spread after Kansas City -9, there's a couple 8-point favorites. Everything else is a touchdown or less this week. So that tells you something right there. I'd be very careful with the teasers more than ever here. Do not use teasers this week because these lines are not going to be accurate, as you just said.
We'll hit this on the other side. We'll say goodbye to Steve Merrill. Sports Rage continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
All right, level one just flying by. Steve Merrill kicking it with us. Just a couple of more minutes with Mr. Steve Merrill. He'll be joining us every Tuesday from here on out. We'll have to get him on a couple of minutes earlier just because time has flown by. But, Steve, you talked about how you took a look at the Western Kentucky Hilltopper Louisville Cardinal football game. You know what? I like this Louisville team this year. I like the makeup. I don't have to tell you about the offense. That they have. They've got their leading running back. Their quarterback is back. Their wide receiver is back. This is an explosive offense. Scored, what, like 33 points a game. Their defense got carved up for like 31. Good news, bad news. But with that being stated, what do you make of them laying double digits here, 11.5, in a rivalry game against the Hilltoppers?
Yeah, I dug into this game earlier today, as I said, and you know, what jumped out to me is these teams, of course, played each of the last 2 years, actually, but they both had new coaches last year, and they played early last year in Nashville. It was a neutral field. Louisville was a 10-point dog. They won 38-21. They were up 31-7 at the half. Western's only touchdown came on a 77-yard pass. I went through the drive charts, and I rescored the game based on how the teams moved the ball, and I actually had the final score 31-7. So both teams returned basically the same lineups, second year for both coaches. I don't feel like Western's caught up to Louisville any more than they did last year. So right now I'm starting to lean more towards Louisville minus the 11.5, 12. But, you know, once again, Gabe, you know, week one, buyer beware. These teams haven't played yet. There's been no preseason. I got to give Ralph Michaels credit for this over at Wager Talk. He had some stats today, and I don't want to steal his thunder, but so far teams that have had like a substantial edge in spring practices versus the other are perfect 4-0 against the spread. And Louisville had 7 spring practices. Western had 0. So they actually apply to that angle here. By the way, the biggest one on the board, Ralph said today, was Coastal Carolina's plus 15 edge, yet the money's been coming in on Kansas. But I think that's a really interesting angle, though, and it's something that Ralph Michaels over at Wager Talk pointed out today.
Well, Western Kentucky had 0 practices?
Well, this is spring. You know, so yeah, I'm not going to make my decisions based on it because that's just spring. You know, they've all been here for a month since.
So far it's
4-0, and there's been some real blowouts against the spread. So it's interesting.
Well, Ralph's got some great trends. It's great. Big fan. Steve Merrill, Info. Wager Talk. Sports Rage continues.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big